Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
May 26, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, I did just take like a cat nap, so my voice might be a little deeper than normal. But I assure you, I'm in one piece, and I didn't even throw up today. So victory for me. The O'Chelly Effect, broadcast live from the facilities of O'Chelly.com. Welcome to it. It is Friars Day as I speak live, just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and again on May 26th of 2023, allegedly. So here we are, Friars Day, and what does that mean? I take your calls along with my co-host, B. Pete, who is with me. And gotta say, it goes a lot better when I got you with me, B. Pete. On Sunday, I tried to... tried to do a call-in show on Sunday, and things just didn't want to cooperate with me. Aaron canceled his show last minute. I tried to step in. I figured, I'll kill it with an hour of news, and I'll talk to Mrs. O from the other room, and we'll just pull it off, and maybe if people call, great. And, so this past Sunday, disastrous result, but I got about an hour of nonsense out of it. And it's a podcast now, so hooray. Anyway, a little behind on the website, but if you check the Spreaker feed, you'll see that everything is up to date as it stands. Chris didn't have a show today because, quite frankly, I was still working on a bunch of things, and his guest canceled. We might hear from him in a little while, and it's okay because I actually was on the new Prisoners this morning. So it is what it is. It was what it was, and welcome to you, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are. But if you're hearing us live, right, just about, let's see, 8.5 minutes past 8 p.m. Eastern time here on the East Coast of what they used to call America, you could call in 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. You can join us. And you can join us via Skype if you reach out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype. Send me a message, and I can call you into the show. Let me say it one more time. If you send me a message on Skype, charles.ocelli, that is my Skype handle. If you send me a message, I can call you into the show. Okay. Now, somebody who knows those directions is already with us, and I'll get to that after I say hello to my co-host and see how he's doing. And give you the phone number one more time, 319-527-5016. B. Pete, first man, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. We were able to start our holiday weekend a little early, so I had a chance to relax this afternoon through some searching, and I've been reading the Supreme Court ruling where they voted unanimously against the EPA overreach, which is a pretty significant thing in my line of work. So maybe we can discuss that a little later on the show.
EPA, you know, that is a weird mixed bag of problems that Richard Nixon gave us there with the Environmental Protection Agency, right? I mean, on the one hand, I would say that there was some good done by said environmental agency in a few cases, but ever after, I mean, the bureaucracy overblown, overgrown, just like it is, and, you know, the headache that keeps on giving, like a gift. Thank you, President Nixon. So what else going on? Anything else? I mean, you got the three-day weekend started off a little early, because I guess everybody's going to be off on Monday except me, because I got a show planned. Is that right? Is it like Labor Day or something? I always mix that up. Labor Day, Memorial Day. I don't know. I call it something. What is it on Monday?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Okay. When is Labor Day?
I was in service who didn't make it back.
Right. You know what it is? I always think of it because, you know, it's what do you call that on the in November? It's something else, right?
We got Veterans Day in November.
Veterans Day in November. So yeah, see, now one of my children was born on Veterans Day, and so I always think of that first. And Memorial Day and Veterans Day seem like they should be interchangeable in my brain. I don't know. It's just one of those things that happens. So, and also there is something called Labor Day. So yeah, go ahead.
It's easy to figure. You've got Armed Forces Day. That's for people in uniform.
Okay.
Veterans Day. That's for people who have left and are no longer in uniform, and you have Memorial Day, and that's for the people that are still technically on duty because they were killed in action.
Ah, okay. There you go. So now we have a synopsis, and I guarantee you in about a day or two, I'm still not going to be able to answer this question. It's just, it's one of those things that it just happens in my head, which is funny because that's part of what I wound up discussing on the New Prisoners this morning. You know, Chris did a show on the Mandela Effect on Wednesday. You know, his style, his editorial. I mean, I added to it a little bit, but the Mandela Effect thing, right? I said, oh, man, I got to go ahead and address what I felt like Chris missed. And I've decided to go ahead and invade their show over there because a lot of times we get Chris on here. We've got Lisa on here, Six on here. I said, you know what? Let me bring it on over to them. And also it would give me a steady panel that I absolutely knew would be there so I could test a few things in real time, giving them zero warning about what it was and see what would happen if we just went over generally given information. So I think it's an interesting episode, and they already put it up on Rumble, the video of it, and places like that. It's also out in podcast form, I think. And we're going to run it here on the network in audio form. So, you know, the Mandela Effect discussion is going to continue. Anyways, anything else going on, BP, or should we get to our first caller, basically, who has joined us at the top of the show here on Skype?
No, not a whole lot going on. I mean, you know, I'm still working on logistics for the trip to Dallas in November, calling and checking room rates and things of that nature. But other than that, busy with work and trying to get stuff done around here at home. It's, hard to do when you're working day and night. So I got about another week of that, and then we came back off to a regular schedule and maybe get some things done. But, other than that, doing good. Waiting for the rain to move in. Of course, 3-day weekend, it's going to rain at least 2 days of it. So maybe I'll get my lawn work done by middle of June.
Yeah, okay. You know, the other thing I was thinking, did I send you the information on, like, they do have the hotel they think they're going to hold it at, which means that we should try to centralize close to it so that, you know, because...
No, send me that in a message at the end, and I will do some checking and see if we can find something right there.
All right, yeah, because they did settle on which hotel they're going to do it in, but, you know, it's going to – I mean, like, we could just say to ourselves, well, we have a car, but I don't want to go through this trouble of trying to figure out where to park the damn thing in a city because, you know, that'll be an extra pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
So
wherever we're staying, we can – we'll be close enough. We can do a lot of walking around if we have to. I don't mind using a cab or calling an Uber or whatever.
No, as long as it's short, you know, short trips. You know what I mean? No big deal. Like when Mike and I were there, none of us had a car, and it was fine because it was like, you know, we made sure that we were in a central area. We were only like a half a block from where the conference was, and most other things we could get to easily. Except when we wanted to go to Dealey Plaza, it was a little bit of a trip. But, you know, hotels in that area, what do they got? Shuttles that'll take you to Dealey Plaza. So, you know, many of them ready and waiting for you because they know their business there. So, yeah, all right. I'll definitely get you that because apparently it's in a different location from when I was last there. So, but should be okay. Should be easy from what I understand about it. It's centralized sort of location. It might actually be closer to Dealey Plaza than the last time when I was there, so might not need the shuttle to Dealey Plaza, but if we want to go to a decent restaurant, maybe we need to go get a shuttle, I don't know, or grab the car out of the parking. I don't know what the parking situation is, but we'll figure that out, and I'm definitely looking forward to going to Dallas. Anyway, so we got our Skype caller. Should we get to him now or what?
Yeah, go ahead, bring them on.
All right. So Captain Trips is with us, and good to hear from you, sir. Now, you were going to call in, I think, a couple weeks ago, but then something came up, or no, you were tired, I think, at the end of the day.
Work has been grueling the last couple of weeks, and combined with grueling at home, it's been grueling all the way around.
Well, as long as you're not
eating,
let
me know
gruel.
when you guys settle on where you're going to stay in Dallas, because I am still hoping to get there for at least part of your trip.
Well, you know what you could do.
I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick thought is that, look, if you could only take a couple of days off, and you could maybe make the road trip with us, you could either make the road trip with us and then fly home. or if you had, you know, depending on what your, I mean, I don't know what your resource level is at that point, you know, if you feel like putting that much into it or whatever, but that way you could cut down on the amount of days because BP and I will probably take 2 days coming back. You know what I mean? As opposed
right,
to that,
right.
You could be back in an hour or something, I think. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be difficult for you guys, though, where I'm, like, to come and pick me up would be way out of your way. But yeah, we can discuss. Yeah, we can discuss it. It's,
well, but yeah, but
being either way, that wouldn't be, yeah. That wouldn't be the limiting factor. I mean, I'm partially considering maybe just flying and meeting you guys, but I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It's still early, and
I got you.
You know, well, the way my life is.
Well, here's
who
the
knows
thing:
what's going to be happening if now? You, it's, yeah, now but it's if, wedding drama with my older daughter.
Oh well, that's a whole other issue. But I mean, if you were to fly in, right? Being that it's a, you know, in every major city I've ever been in, there's always a fairly easy way to get yourself, you know, like again, a van or something from the airport to the major city anyway. It's when you got to go outside of the major metropolitan area. So I'm assuming that the airport closest to Dallas would allow you, or Fort Worth would allow you to get, you know, straight into the heart of Dallas, which is where we're going to be, you know, pretty easily. You know, and then once you're there, you're with us and hanging out, so it is what it is. I don't know. You know, sometimes, though, I've had people go, you know what, it was easier for me to just rent the car for the weekend because of blah, 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 and I go, oh, okay. You know, but I think it'll be close enough that it won't be that bad, that you could probably just get right to after you land.
Right, and it doesn't sound like, I mean, the majority of what's going to be going on is going to be confined to the hotel anyway, so, you know, like you guys were saying, you can always get an Uber or taxi or something to venture out and I don't know the first thing about Dallas. I think I've flown through Dallas once in my life.
Well, it's not bad. It's not like a, you know, it's not set up on a grid like New York. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of a, you know, because New York is very strictly sort of grid set up. You know what DC is like because you used to live right there. but you know, so
we won't go there.
It's not like those two cities. But it is, you know, it's on the larger side, so therefore it's fairly conveniently set up. It's not bad. You know, you got your decent highway connectivity. So, I mean, I'm assuming it will not be difficult to get from the airport. They're already preset with that. It's not like the weirdness of, you know, some people would go up to New York and they would have to land in Atlantic City. And they thought, you know, a lot of people would think that, landing in Atlantic City, because there's an airport there. A small one, and they would go, well, you know, oh, it must be real easy to get to New York from there, and I would have to tell them all day. No, it's not. That is not a simple thing to do.
You'd be better off landing in Philly.
Yes, you would be, because you would have access to all kinds of mass transit, which, strangely enough, there are buses that go to Atlantic City, but they don't really care about convenience on that. It's like, It is not set up for you to be able to make a quick, easy trip to New York from Atlantic City or to really get out of Atlantic City. They sort of have it set up so that it's, you sit there considering, should I bother to try and leave or should I just get a hotel here? I think that was done intentionally. And, maybe
probably,
I'm wrong. Maybe probably. I'm wrong, but, I think some people might have thought it out and said, you know, if we make it a little difficult to leave, that means they might gamble longer.
They might stay longer, yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's very true.
But,
God, I haven't been in Atlantic City in 40 years, 30 years, something like that. Crazy.
Well, could be just my mindset, but I strongly believe that's the way it's set up. So anyway, anything on your mind you want to throw on the table here now that we've batted this this craziness around? I haven't even checked the regular phone lines yet, but go ahead.
Nah, nothing really. I mean, I'm just watching the madness unfold.
which madness do you refer to?
Oh God, yeah. Well, it depends. You know, so we're gonna play the debt ceiling dance again. Let's see what else. I don't even know. I haven't been paying attention as to what's going on in Eastern Europe for the past few days.
Well, this debt ceiling, this debt ceiling dance is a little different because it looks to me like if you do the math, they said there's something like $38 billion left. In, you know, spendable money, and that, you know, would disappear in less than 3 days, given what it is our government spends.
It would take 3 days?
It would take 3 days.
It would take 3 days to disappear?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I figured it would take about 3 minutes.
Well, according to the normal bills, that takes about 3 days to disappear. Now, somebody says, well, does that mean the debt ceiling is going to be hit in 3 days? No, because we actually allegedly take in money, too. So during that time, some money comes in. But, you know, there's about a week's worth of money left there. And it's really...
Hey, I know where we can get... quite a bit of our money back. We could, we could ask Biden's boy toy, Mr. Zelensky, for our billions of dollars back that we've given him. That'd be one place.
Mm.
I can come up with a few more. I can come up with a few more places where we can find the money.
Well, I bet you that there's some checks that are written out to some dead people that could probably be, canceled as well. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that maybe dead people won't cash their checks. That's another thing. But
that's a possibility.
You know, what do I know after all? But this debt ceiling thing's a little bit different because it's not quite the same as, like, this is a literal default on stuff that's already rolling as opposed to the other times.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a hard thing to swallow. I mean, that's a straight up, like, F you, we're not going to pay you sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they've been, you know, harshly negotiating. That was a strange thing because you saw Biden had to rush back to, get deep into the negotiations with McCarthy, allegedly. I can't see what it would be like to negotiate with, you know, Sleepy Joe there. Because, I mean, you know, you ever try and work out a business deal with an old man who's like, certainly he should have retired already. I mean, I don't care if you're trying to, you know, go ahead and purchase an ice cream stand from a guy who's had it for 60 years and you're trying to talk to him and he's falling asleep with you in the middle of you trying to negotiate with purchasing his business. I've been present for something like this because isn't that awfully specific, Chuck? Yes, it is. I did this and, this was not fun.
It sounded like it was being spoken from experience.
Yeah, because I was working for a boss that, you know, purchased a variety of small businesses in an area and he wanted to acquire another one. And this was an old guy who had an ice cream stand, I kid you not, and a tobacco store. Okay, where It was in this one area and he wanted both. He wanted actually the tobacco store. And the old man's like, look, I'm selling everything I got or nothing. So we had to buy the ice cream stand, and I was tasked with trying to work it out with him as far as a price based on what we thought the business would do and this and that. It's a seasonal business, blah, blah, blah. The guy fell asleep on me like 3 times during a negotiation, and I didn't know what to do. I got to be frank with you. I was like, I don't know. How old was I? Let me think about this. I was 27, 28 years old. So I'm looking at this guy who's, I don't know, 70, 80, 90, I'm not sure, who had this business for like 30, 40 years and, you know, had other businesses. And this is like the last two things he owned because he owned a group of small businesses in a particular area. So I'm there working with a guy who owns gas stations and this and that. And, and the guy fell asleep on me like 3 times while I'm trying to talk to him about this.
That's funny.
So I wound up stepped out of the room at one point, got on my cell phone, which, you know, my boss paid for my cell phone back then. I didn't have the money for that in 1998 or whatever, 99. And I grabbed my cell phone. I'm like, the guy's falling asleep on me. What do I do? And he goes, well, wake him up or wait for him to wake up, one or the other. And I go, yeah, that's not very helpful. What am I supposed to do with this? Like, what do you mean? I just told you, wake him up or wait for him to wake up. So anyway, that went on for a good like 4 hours. I thought I was going to be there for like an hour and a half going over particulars. And I was like there for 4.5 hours instead because the guy fell asleep 2-3 times easily. One time I wasn't sure. So that's why I keep saying 2 or 3. True story. So anyway, back to this thing with McCarthy trying to negotiate with Biden. I can imagine McCarthy having to do that with Biden where it's like, oh man, okay, I'll just wait a minute here. Anybody got, can I get a cup of coffee or something? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do while you're waiting?
Yep.
Oh man. Anyway.
My other question though is, is it actually Biden sitting in that room with McCarthy? Come on. I'm at the point now where I think they just roll Biden out, tell him what to say, give him his ice cream, and move him on his way. I mean, this is absurd at this point.
Yeah. Well, they take him out for the photo ops, that's for sure. You know, so, but I mean, it's just not an enviable position. And I'm not a fan of Kevin McCarthy, but I gotta say that I might feel bad for him if he's gotta sit there waiting for the guy to wake up, if he actually has to negotiate with him. But I'm probably mistaken in the whole thought process of it's actually Biden who he's negotiating with. So, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't either. What's going to happen at this point?
Yeah, sorry, BP.
Biden needs to do the actual discussions, and they have to stop what they're doing to get back with him. And that enables him to go off to, where was he? Just went China or somewhere, and he can always, you know, tell them in the phone, nah, don't accept it. But they've danced themselves into a corner, and the reason that it takes 3 days for those so many billions left to get spent is the Treasury has certain pay dates, certain dates hit, and that's when they release funds for certain things like Medicare is one day, Social Security is another day. And I think they were saying the other day on the news that there's three things that come due in those days that'll wipe out the reserves we have. Granted, supposedly we have more income coming in, so it's not going to be a full default. It's just going to be difficult if they don't reach an agreement to spread our money out based on that schedule of when they have these automatic payouts to do.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, if you've ever had a government-issued check for one reason or another, whether it's a tax return or whatever, if it's got the Treasury on it, you bring it anywhere, people treat it like cash, and we'll absolutely cash it, right? So will that change, though, if some of those checks bounce? I mean, I know I should take this more seriously, but I don't know what to say. I mean, like, you know.
You know, the reason I'm not taking it seriously is because these FWADs that are in supposed power, none of them are serious. Mm-hmm. None of them are serious. You know, I'll rephrase it. I'm sure some of them are serious. But, I mean, this is just a joke now. This is just a joke. The whole thing, this entire setup, the whole thing from start to finish, and I'm going beyond the whole debt ceiling debacle. You know, when are we going to acknowledge that it was the government that forced all these people out of work, and it was the government that then decided to give them a whole bunch of money to stay home and, you know, spike this inflationary crap? I mean, this is just ridiculous. And then at the same time, we're bankrolling a freaking war in Europe that we have no business being involved in the first place, and then you want to cry about the debt ceiling? Come on, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the whole thing.
I totally understand what you're saying. You know, and another funny aspect of this, though, is that I keep seeing reports, and we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to get to him in a minute. But when I see these funny reports now of, well, you know, inflation is slowing, it's cooling off, and this, I go, well, that's funny, because I went to the grocery store, you know, the other day, me and Mrs. O, we went to the grocery store, and, you know, we go a couple of times a month, really, and then the rest of the time, it's about, you know, pick up a couple of things in and out of a store, you know, mm-hmm. But we actually go, like, twice a month and try to load the house, right? And we went a couple of days ago and kind of actually overspent and it's put me in a little bit of a tight spot for the past few days, because I had to estimate some things, and by the time we got a few things in the cart, she looks at me, and I'm like the designated calculator, you know, no offense to Mrs. O at all, but she is not good with the math as apparently I am. So, you know, she turns to me all the time, like, how much did we just put in the cart? You know, pretty much. So we don't go over and do the whole dance of, okay, what do we put back and all this nonsense. So I looked at her and I said, you know, right there, what you have right there, that's $100. You know, and I know we're not going far past that. We can't. So that's $100. And, like, I get the sideways look from her. It's like, well, but I'm not in control of these prices. I'm just telling you what you did here. This is what it is.
Right.
And yeah, we're done. We didn't, you know, and it's like, No, we can add in the butter because I knew that was coming and whatnot, and I knew we were going to go a little over $100, but we literally don't have any more than that, so that's it. You know, I can't spend what I don't have. Okay? I'm not the government.
Exactly.
You know, so, and that's all there is to it. But we were looking at each other and then looking at the amount that was in the cart, and we're not talking about like a full cart, half a cart, nothing like that. And Kroger doesn't use big, huge carts.
You fill up the little place where the small kids sit. That'll pretty much fill up $100.
It was just a little more than that. And the only reason why it was a little more than that is because we had one of those big bottles, you know, 5 gallon bottle of water. Okay. But if it wasn't for the 5 gallon bottle of water, I mean, it would have been like next to nothing. Yeah. Fill up the slot where the little kids go. And then, you know, with a couple of good things. And I'm like, look, you want to buy fresh, you know, you want to buy some fresh fruits. You want to buy something, you know, God help you, eggs. You know, and I don't eat eggs, but they do. So, you know, we got to buy some eggs. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, you want any other protein in there? Yeah, you can get to $100 real quick. So I'm not seeing inflation slow in the grocery store. I'm not seeing it slow, for any of the staple things I buy. I'm not seeing it slow down for our utilities. I'm not seeing it. I mean, you know, and even despite the fact that I had to go through a struggle getting ripped off by a damn mechanic recently, you know, that didn't go down in price any. Even if I didn't get ripped off, you know, that didn't go down in price. I think the only thing that was stable price wise was some spark plugs that were about the expected price, but everything else was like up. And forget it. If you need oil or if you need a coolant or, you know, the other stuff you got to put in after you replace something like a water pump and things like that. Oh, well, you know, that's no longer, please, can you find a bottle of antifreeze for $10? Cause I can't. Okay. Not where I live. Maybe your experiences may vary. And I live in a fairly cheap part of the country. So I know other people are taking a hit much harder than me even. At least the numbers are higher. They might be able to make more money where they are, and they're taking a harder hit. But the thing is, even in the cheap part of the country, nothing's cheap. So here we are. Slowed inflation? Yeah, go ahead.
I won't say looking forward, but it's going to be very interesting to see, because this will be the first time I've been up north in about 8 months to see what the prices are up there. I mean, they're always horrible. So it'll be interesting to see how bad they are in the D.C. area. I can't imagine they're going to be any better than they were the last time I was there, most likely worse.
Right. Well, depending on that, because you moved to Florida, you said that on here. So, you know, the thing is, in Florida, it's way cheaper day to day. I mean, it just is. You know, so, yeah.
just the no state income taxes alone.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to see as far as sticker shock when you go up there because, again, I haven't gone, I haven't ventured, further than South Carolina in a long time. So, you know, here we go. I've sort of stayed in this corner here where I could sort of afford to breathe, of the country mostly, except in my one trip to Dallas. So, you know.
That's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, I would not be leaving the state of Florida if it wasn't for my older daughter getting married.
There you go. And hell, I don't even want to go to Atlanta. Okay, so you know, just
sure,
forget it. You know, I mean, price wise, I just don't want to try. I don't want to try to eat lunch if I end up in Atlanta for a couple hours. I mean, it's that simple. I don't want to because I know it's going to be horrendous. You know, that's another thing I was thinking about is, BP, we take this road trip. Boy, we're going to have to be rather careful. I mean, I got a couple of ways that hopefully we'll be able to make some money while we're there. And, but I'm also a little bit concerned about if we do need bail money, if we go and invade Judy's conference, because, I don't know, has bail gone up? Does anybody know that I haven't paid bail in a while? Mrs. O's been well behaved lately. So I haven't paid bail in a while, guys. Does anybody know if that's kind of sort of spiked up with inflation or do we know anything? I don't know. Anyway, random question.
I don't know anything about it, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't. I mean, they've jacked the prices of everything else up. Why not jack the price of that up too?
Right. So, BP, shall we go to, let's see. I know we have at least one call. Yeah, we have one caller on the line. Shall we go there or do we have some other business we need to get to or hell, how deep are we in here? We're about a half hour in. We could take a break. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you can go ahead and bring the other caller in, and then if you want to take a break in about 15, 20 minutes or so, we'll go ahead and get that in. That's up to you.
Fair enough. So, Captain Trips, hang on, and let's see. I'm sure I recognize this number. This is the infamous Jimmy James, who got a shout-out on New Prisoners earlier this morning, by the way, when we talked about the Mandela Effect show that Chris had done on Wednesday. His name came up because he called in to that show. How you doing, Jimmy James?
Doing good.
Great. So, and you brought up some good stuff on that Mandela Effect show. A weird thing, as a matter of fact, that you had personally noticed, and kind of actually, it leads to another strange conspiracy theory, the dead internet theory, from what I understand. You know anything about that?
The dead internet, no.
Something for people to look up. I don't want to try and explain it because I literally encountered this conspiracy theory 2 days ago. I was not aware of the dead internet theory until 2 days ago. So it's a little weird, but it's sort of based on this idea that stories are just being repeated and that the internet is, what do they call that? You know, you ever seen a movie where... okay. The movie The Three Amigos. Have you seen that movie, Jimmy?
Yes, I've seen it in the theater when it came out, in fact.
Okay, I think they did this in The Three Amigos, right, where they set up something that looked like a Western town, but it wasn't the actual Western town, and then they came out, all of the people were dressed like The Three Amigos, and they tried to fool people to make it seem as though people were everywhere, and the town was, like, larger and bigger than it actually was, right? So it's like a false town and a false army population of people that's being presented and pushed forward, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a term for this, and it's some kind of village. I forget the name of it, but if somebody looks it up, I'm very sure there's a
certain... Potemkin. It's
that's
Potemkin
it.
Village.
Potemkin Village. Okay, so what they're trying to say is this dead internet theory, in its very basic terms, and I am no expert on it, so don't question me, but what they're trying to say is that the internet has been set up like a Potemkin Village, and you are meant to just basically be caught up in repeated nonsense, and even the most basic things in the world, even though we think of it as a tremendous knowledge base and everything else, that may have been the case at one point, but at this point, it's a restricted base of knowledge that is actually constricting rapidly, and now you're looking at a false front where the World Wide Web is just this very limited area that keeps information, people, and everything else very tightly limited. And it's meant to say that the living space that could have been there is no longer there. They've killed it off. They have walled it off so that even if you enter into some other part of the internet, you're on your own. You're in a ghost town. There are no people there. There is no population. There is no information outside of the Potemkin Village. And that's it. And it's a weird theory. Again, I have not studied it all the way, but it's a strange thing. Have you ever heard of this, Jimmy James?
No, I've never heard nothing like that.
See, when I saw the dead internet theory, I thought to myself, okay, maybe this is all those people on Facebook, because I've talked about this before. There are tons and tons of people on Facebook and social media that have passed away, and their profiles are still there. So you'll see that even years later, people are still visiting their profiles, just discovering that they died, stuff like that. I thought maybe that's what they were going to mention when it was the dead internet theory, like all these pieces of information, these bits of data, these profiles and everything that contain loads of information where they're no longer attached to a living person, what will happen to all that stuff? I thought that's what they were talking about, but no, it's another weird concept here. So I don't know. You know, maybe there's something to that. Anyway, I've run my mouth now, Jimmy James. You got something on your mind tonight that you want to throw on the table?
Well, just on the economic deal there.
Right, the debt ceiling crisis or whatever?
Yes. the big debt ceiling crisis. Mm-hmm. It's all right, folks. We have laws that demand we have to pay our debts to other countries. We have laws that demand we have to pay Social Security, VA, everything else. The only thing that will happen if there's a so-called government shutdown, 17% of the government shuts down. It's the same part that shuts down every night at 4 o'clock and on weekends and on 200 federal holidays. Does the world end? Nope. Everything's going to be just fine and dandy.
So it'll just be like part of the government went on vacation is what you're saying until they straighten it out. That's all it'll be?
Yep, and then they'll get back to the folks that actually, you know, work at the parks or wherever they decide to lay off people.
Mm. So if it was through no fault of their own that they're off, they'll wind up getting their back pay anyway. You know, that does sound familiar that they've given people back pay when stuff's been shut down. Which I always found strange because, you know, whenever I worked in a private business and stuff got shut down because of a lack of paid bills. And, you know, again, I mentioned the gas stations a lot of times. I worked at gas stations where all of a sudden, you know, the guy couldn't pay for his fuel delivery and now there's no gas at a gas station. And people just keep coming in screaming at you for a little while until the boss says, you know what, shut the doors, go home. And we do that. Until somebody comes along and pays the bill to have gas delivered again, whether it's the new boss or the old boss or some brand new guy that shows up or whatever, somebody does that, and then hopefully you get called back to work. But it's a little less of a certain situation than what it seems like government employees face. You know what I mean, Jimmy James?
Oh, it's completely different. And everyone that signs the contract, if they actually read the contract, would know what they're in for. For instance, probably one thing they will do is not pay the troops, because they could do that. If you read your contract, the only thing the military has to provide you every day with is one meal and 4 hours of sleep, and that doesn't have to be consecutive.
Huh. Wow. Well, there's something. So we do have another caller on the line also, Pete. So I turn to you again. What should we do here? Do you want to throw something on the table here? Speak to what Jimmy James said. Where do you want to go?
No, that's fine. I agree with Jimmy on what he said. The way that we pay our bills is not the way the media is, you know, portraying it. It's been doom and gloom and scare tactics, and nobody's, you know, everybody's going to go broke. The whole world economy is just going to go into faltership and default. So, you know, what are you going to do? We play this game every time the debt ceiling gets close to being run. So it's just another dance. Only this time, Democrats kind of backed themselves into a corner. The House has passed a resolution. They're just waiting for it to go to the Senate. They said it's not going to work at the Senate, you know. So you hear, and I've heard this the past 4 or 5 days, how Republicans are, you know, they're causing this problem. They're taking us to the brink. They're scaring people. You know, this is just a tactic. And the Republicans are sitting back there going, wait a minute, we've passed a bill. And it basically says that we'll hold spending for the next 2 years at 2022 levels. And we'll raise the debt limit. So there's your opportunity, and of course it's got to go through the Senate and get voted on, but that's not the way it's being portrayed, you know, on the lamestream media. Everybody is being worked into a frenzy and scared that, you know, grandma's not going to get her Social Security check.
Right. Well, with that, I'm going to go to a break. Actually, I'm going to do the executive decision here because I've got a Skype caller, I've got a caller on the phone line. Stick around, everybody. And we'll continue adding people to the discussion and see where it goes here on a Friday night. I'm here. My co-host, B. Pete, is with me. And you, if you're hearing us live, could join us. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I'll call you into the show. The Ocelli Effect Friday Night Open Mic continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. gold, silver, the stock market, WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
In the truth about the JFK assassination?
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ochelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ochelli Effect.
The second segment of the Ochelli Effect Live Open Mic Friday night is happening now, and you could join us, 319-527-5016. We do have another caller on the line. I keep trying to get Chris Graves on, but I think, Chris, you're going to have to try and press the join call button, because that's the only way that's going to work. I've called you about 7-8 times during the break, so if you want to join into the conversation, do so, and send me a text that you're live with us. Let me know that happens. But anyways, I'll keep trying to do that. We have another caller on the line, and the first person to join us was Captain Trips. He's live with us via Skype. Jimmy James is on the phone, and we do have another caller, and my co-host B. Pete is with me. So, like I said, you could join us too. 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. And if you're paying attention and I call you, you can answer, and I will call you into the show. There you go. So, B. Pete, we were in the midst of a bit of a discussion when I took the break, and there's a lot more we could cover regarding the debt ceiling, I guess. But who knows what else, and we got another caller on the line. I think it's Harlan, who we kept waiting. We took kind of a long break there, but what are your thoughts, my friend?
Oh, well, yeah, you can bring Harlan into the conversation, see if he's got anything he wants to throw onto the table, and otherwise we can just bounce around the headlines if you want.
Fair enough. And we also briefly discussed RFK off air and where he's at, and Captain Trips being a little surprised that he's picking up a bit of steam in the polls. Again, I'm happy to see that. You know, what can I say? But, okay, I think this is Harlan here on the line. Sir, you're on the air, and I think that's you, Harlan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's me. I'm here.
Excellent. Glad to hear from you. And what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I've got several things on my mind, especially listening to you guys during the break. One thing, as far as the manifesto goes for the shooter, what I understand, that it's been basically some of the local police and the family of the children that's pushing again.
Sorry, Harlan, you broke up there a little bit. You said something about the family and the local police did something regarding that manifesto from that one shooter.
Yeah, can you hear me now? How about that?
Oh, yeah, much better. Much better. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, from what I understand, you know, it's there's the family. And I also read some stories that it was the local police, too, that didn't want to release it. And there was some lawsuits. I believe the Tennessee Firearms Association was involved in that. And a sheriff from another county was involved in it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like, you know, what I've saw, that they're going to turn it loose.
Mm. Well, you know, and I always wonder about this anyway, like, it seems like a reward they give to any of these guys, and I don't care what their manifesto says. Why the hell would you even do that except to show people, oh, well, you know, we're doing this to show you what was on the mind of the shooter? I don't see that as highly productive in the public's hands anyway. Does it mean I won't read it when they release it? No, it doesn't, but same time, I've always found it strange that they would even do that in the first place. How about you, Harlan?
Well, I think what the big deal is just as soon as this happened, you had a push from, you know, some Republicans, and especially the Republican Governor Bill Lee, and David Knights talked about it on his show and made several posts on his social media about it, that they've come out with some of the most outrageous, you know, gun control bills, that he's calling for another special session in August. And I think a lot of people's attitude is, if you're saying that, you know, you guys are wanting to push this down our throats, we'll see what this person had on their mind when they went and done this. I think that's what it is a lot of people. Mm. I think if they want to push gun control, I don't think it'd even been an issue with most people. Yeah, there'd been a few people, you know, screaming about it, but you know, a lot of people I've talked to, you know, basically got the opinion of you that, hey, no, there's no reason to turn this loose. But at the same time, other manifestos have been turned loose, and here they're, you know, trying to cram all this crazy gun control, including red flag laws, mag bans, and, you know, you name it, you know, on everybody in the state because of something that happened one time. And here again, excuse me, what I understand, somebody told me they had 209 students at about $16,000 a year for each one of them. It looks like maybe with that kind of money, they could have carved out 60 or 70 grand to put a SRO, you know, on site. If they had been, you know, SRO there, some kind of armed security, you know, chances are this wouldn't have happened. And for some reason, because, you know, that didn't happen, now let's flip it all back on, you know, to every, you know, citizen in the state. And most of this is just a lot of laws, just inconveniences and just spite. I mean, it's the same kind of stuff that we hear all the time that, you know, it's the Democrats and, you know, and here again, it's one more time that, you know, you've got a so-called conservative here. What are they conserving? I mean, what have most of these conservatives conserved besides high prices and low wages? You know, I hear one of the guests during the break talking about, you know, a lot of this stuff was as much Republicans as it was Democrats. But that's more or less my opinion of it.
Fair enough. So, B. Pete, where should we take this one? Should we pass it around to everybody, or what do you think? I mean, about the manifesto and all that. I mean, I'm of this attitude of, like, I don't know why they keep publishing this crap, but I guess it's useful tools in the political boxes, which is pretty much what Harlan said. You know, it's useful to somebody because maybe they pass these other gun laws and this and that based on the idea of, like, I mean, I don't know why it is you need to see the details of, clearly, if somebody's nuts. You know, like, it's not a rational decision to go and shoot a joint up generally, okay, unless it's literally a threat to the community and you believe it's a threat to the community. Maybe you go shoot up something like that. That would make some sense, but, you know.
There's some different elements in this one. First, you know, the biggest thing is that the person that perpetrated this identified as trans. So that's the number one issue that started the whole blow up of the situation. I mean, yeah, we have shootings all the time. We have mass shootings. They go through the details, but this one stuck out because, one, it was a person who identified as trans. It was a female who identified as a trans male. And secondly, there were things leaked in the early part of the investigations into this that, you know, they had a manifesto. They had these writings. This person actually picked this school because they said the security there was easier to breach than at other schools. So you have some interest in this, one, because it's not your typical, you know, right-wing extremist gun owner that went off because of some perceived slight by the media or by the government. So the media runs with certain aspects on this. So, yeah, there's a big question there as to when they're going to release this information. Now you've got the family speaking up. You've got the actual school speaking up saying that, you know, they should be able to weigh in on whether this is released. So they've set a hearing for them to argue this thing out. But I can see where the interest in this manifesto was drudged up and built up by the investigating authorities and the media. And now it's like, okay, well, it may never see the light of day. Well, then you get into the legal aspect of people that may be related tangentially to a situation being able to affect whether public police records, and this is taken in as a police record as evidence, not being available to the public. So you've got that argument. You got a legal argument. You got the societal argument. We're just going to have to wait and see how things fall out, but I can understand the interest in it. I'd be curious to read what the person wrote. But they say that this thing is so volatile that in the wrong hands, somebody could, you know, follow the information in this manifesto and do a lot of damage if they follow it to a T. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. Yeah, I say we throw it around, see what everybody thinks.
Okay, fair enough. So where should we begin? We heard from Harlan, obviously. We got Jimmy James. We got Captain Trips. I mean, I'm still going to keep trying to grab Chris if we can get him, but, you know, whoever else calls in. But
Jimmy, let's throw it to Jimmy, and then we'll go over to Captain.
Ah, right. Oh, I might actually have Chris on the line, by the way. Let's see.
Yeah, you go to Captain, though. He's,
there you go. We do have Chris now. So you want to go to? Did you want to go to Jimmy or Captain first? Sorry, BP.
Yeah, just throw it to Jimmy, and then we'll go to Captain, and we'll come back around to Chris.
There you go. Okay. So go ahead, Jimmy.
I don't know why they release these manifestos, but they always have since Jack the Ripper.
Hmm. See, but you kind of feel the same way I do, where it's like, you know, look, we clearly know that, you know, that this is not going to be rational, good reasoning going to come out of this. It's almost like, why in the hell does this need to be done? It's almost like a reward for pulling this crap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you feel like it about that, or do you just think, you know, I mean, it's not to say I wouldn't read it. I would read it. I usually do when they put this stuff out. But, man, it seems to me like,
I could see the use before they catch them, like they did with the Unabomber, and it actually led to his capture. But other than that, no, they really shouldn't be doing that.
Hmm. Yeah, see, now here's one of those weird instances where you and I come just about to the same sort of conclusion, where it's like, if it's going to serve a good purpose, go ahead. But Harlan makes the point that, you know, it's a politicized weapon. And obviously everything gets politicized and picked up and weaponized. So, I mean, you know, here we go again. And I don't even know what direction this would go in, because this was a strange one. I found it really crazy when we were covering this, when it was sort of emerging and all the details weren't in, that the first reports were this was a woman, first of all, which I thought was weird. And then it was like, oh, it's a trans woman. Okay. It just kept getting stranger and stranger. Because this is not what you would typically expect, and I'm not, you know, going for the normal template of, well, it's got to be a right winger and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm just saying in general, I thought it was weird. And I still find it very strange. So I don't know. The whole thing is really, really bizarre. And I think maybe on balance, it might be the kind of thing, although BP does say and does bring up the point that sometimes, you know, it's like, well, parts of things that are taken in as records by the police, if you don't lay them out in the sunshine all the time, that invites a whole new set of problems. And this is why a lot of people will say, no, release everything. They, you know, the people that are out there screaming, I want every video out. I want every piece of everything out. You know, I kind of also understand that line of thought as well. It's a mixed bag. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think, why the hell keep releasing this crap unless it's going to serve a greater purpose? And like you said, the Unabomber is a great example, Jimmy. So, I kind of fall into that way. Yeah.
That made sense. But just rewarding these nuts just for funsies, isn't a real good strategy.
Yeah, BP, you had something to say?
I was going to say, you know, releasing the Unabomber manifesto was how they caught him.
Yeah, well, that's why we were saying that's a good one, a good example of it serving a greater purpose, because if I remember the story right, his brother saw it and said, holy crap, that sounds like my brother. And, you know, there you go. And he led them to Kaczynski.
I can see the benefit of releasing it, but it seems like no matter what they do, it's just going to generate a perpetual lawsuit. If they release it, you're going to have people suing to have stuff redacted. If they don't release it, you're going to have people suing to release it. So why not just go ahead and put it out there? Mm. I think America's grown up enough to be able to read it and comprehend what was going on. But I'd be very curious to know what was going through somebody's mind, at what point they were in their life that they decided this was the way to fix it.
See, that's a lot of different ways to come at it. So why don't we get Captain Tripp's view on this, since he's still here, too, and then we'll get Chris, because we finally got him on the line, which I'm happy about. So, Captain Tripp, you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't given much thought to it except for as you all are talking about it, and everybody's raising a good point. The copycat effect is well known. So, you know, is putting this stuff out there, is it just fueling more of it? Yeah, in the case of the Unabomber, certainly it was released prior to him being captured, so you could certainly see the utility in doing that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they pull all this crap into the public sphere anyway, and they jam it down everyone's throat. You know, it's the same. If you're gonna you know give somewhat in, you know, give a little bit of information, and part of me says, yeah, release it all.
Mm.
And now, as to B. Pete's last comment about Americans being mature enough, as a whole, I would take issue with that. I think there's some segments of our population that's mature enough, for the most part.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But at the same time, you know what? How let's just speak to the portions of the population that are not mature enough. How are they ever going to mature if you don't give them a chance to do so? So, you know, there's the other thing.
That's a good point.
When people talk about, could the American public handle this or that or the other thing? Are they mature enough to handle, you know, anything from aliens to this crap, right? I always say, what? How are they ever going to even have the opportunity to do so if you protect them? Well, I mean, it's like overprotecting a child.
Let me qualify that. I didn't mean to protect them because no, I completely agree. I mean, I definitely don't want the quote unquote authorities protecting them,
right?
So I agree with you on. I just meant. The vast majority of the population probably doesn't even know what happened anymore. They forgot about it.
You know, I bet that's true as well, as it's probably already well down the memory hole. And there's a significant portion of the population probably going, what? What are you talking about now? Which one? When did it happen? Mm-hmm. You know, weird thing like that. So, yeah, fair enough. You got anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, not really. I don't know where I fall on this because I can definitely see both arguments have merit.
Yeah, you could see it from a couple different angles.
But
here.
But I do lean toward releasing it. Mm-hmm. Because we've got some exposure to the situation, but yet we don't know if we're ever going to be able to. Well, no, we're never going to be able to address this problem as a whole, so I'm not even going to go that route. But yeah, I lean toward releasing it. However, I don't disagree with the concerns over fueling copycats.
Mm, fair enough. You know, weird piece of news. I didn't throw this in yet, but I have actually been allowed now. I'm allegedly allowed to post on Reddit again after being solidly banned for 5 years. For some reason, and I don't know why. So I was going through a Reddit thread. The reason why I bring it up is because I do go and look at threads occasionally on there, even though I haven't been allowed to participate, but suddenly I now have the option to do so, and with no explanation, by the by. Anyway, it's fascinating to me that there are people from around the world pretty much thinking that people in America must be constantly consumed with the idea that they could be shot anywhere they go. I found that pretty weird.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. And the other one, it just, and I have to comment on this because of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put it out there. I promise all my non-white friends and people that I know, it is safe to come to Florida. We're not lynching black people in the streets. We're not hunting down gay people.
Okay.
And I think this freaking moron from the NAACP needs to have his tongue removed. Just to say something like that.
The travel advisory.
Oh, issue a travel advisory against coming to Florida? Please, somebody tell me where all the excessive violence, especially the excessive, you know what? I'm going to be honest, and Chuck, I hope this doesn't get the show ding. There's a lot of shootings in Florida. But the majority of it is black on black.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to lie.
It is what it is.
And the majority of it is not white on black. So I found that absolutely ridiculous, and I got a kick out of Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, right?
Ted Cruz. He made some comment. Oh no, I'm sorry. I take that back. It was Rick Scott. Rick Scott, the other senator from Florida, said he was issuing a travel advisory to tell all socialists to stay out of Florida because we don't want you here.
Okay.
And of course, the media got up and ran with that. That was so inappropriate. But the comment that sparked his joke, which is really what it was, that was okay.
Mm.
You know, it's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. Sorry, I digress. But when you said that thing about the, I did see that story. I did see a story. I want to say it might have been out of the Guardian, or I think I thought it was in the UK about how some countries are issuing travel advisories because you're going to come to America and get shot.
Yeah, but
I don't. You know, I mean, it doesn't appear that way to me. But what do I know? I just live here.
I know, but that was a weird thing. I went to Reddit when I read that headline, and I went to Reddit to see if that was actually there, because a few times the Guardian has disappointed me. As a matter of fact, earlier today when I was on the New Prisoners, the Guardian, I think it was the Guardian, turned around and like they did a story on the Mona Lisa, right? And it was a weird thing. We were talking about the Mandela effect on there and all this, and it's a tangential issue. But the funny thing is, it's the first time I ever in my life think that somebody wrote about the Mona Lisa and didn't put a picture of the Mona Lisa in with the story. In the old days when you had to make choices about, you know, what to print on paper, I understand maybe if you didn't have a photograph to go with that story. But the idea that on the internet you couldn't just slap a picture of or a secondary photo of the Mona Lisa in a story about the Mona Lisa. What the hell are you doing, Guardian? I mean, you know, you don't need a photographer to go get it for you. I'm very sure you could get an image from a clip art place, you know, for nothing or next to it.
I'd have to guess that the Mona Lisa is well out of copyright. So, yeah, I don't think finding a public image of the Mona Lisa would be all that difficult.
I'm thinking, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Very weird. But with that, we got last one, I guess, BP, to hear from on this is Chris Graves. So, Chris, we were talking about that shooting, you know, by the alleged trans woman, the alleged shooting by the alleged trans woman, whatever, because I don't think it's actually been adjudicated as of yet, and all of that. But the manifesto, that came up during the break. So we were talking about the release or not to release of it and that. But I open it up to you, man. If you want to comment on that or if you want to throw something else out there, it's up to you. Chris Graves, Get Mad with Chris Graves. He didn't do a show today, but that was partially my doing because Chris was going to go live and just take calls. But I was like, dude, I got a lot of other work to do anyway, so why don't we just skip it for today? Because he had a planned guest, and that didn't work out today. So anyway, all of that is fairly true, right, Chris?
Yeah, all of that's true. And, yeah, it's getting more increasingly frustrating. You know, I mean, I don't blame this particular guest, but just lately, to have a consistent show, you kind of have to have your guest, you know, show up.
It does help. It does help. So, you got any comments on this, or you want to throw something else out there? Or
yeah, I'll comment for a second on that, and then I have something I wanted to throw out to everybody. Yeah, I'm Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, so as long as it can be proven that the perpetrator actually wrote this manifesto, I'd like to take a look at it, because there are questions about the Virginia Tech killer, Joe, his manifesto. There were questions about the writings of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold at Columbine that actually got yanked back because they couldn't prove that they had written it. Sheriff John Stone actually had a couple of press conferences where he talked about Eric Harris's journal, and then they had to retract a lot of that. So, yeah, I'd like to take a look at some of this evidence. And as long as it can be proven that the perpetrator that was involved actually wrote it, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Well, and you haven't lived until you've been stuck in a room with people arguing over Lee Harvey Oswald's alleged historical journal as well.
Well, Peter C. Kosh and I will be doing a special on just that in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Great. I don't know if I'm over my trauma yet from having to sit through 8-hour-long discussions with certain people, and I'm not going to name names here, but damn it, boys. You guys wasted a lot of my time. Not you guys, but people I'm talking about that I knew in the past. Sitting there and going over the different portions of Lee Harvey Oswald's journal, in air quotes, for people playing at home. But anyway, yeah, go right ahead. That'll be interesting.
So we'll dissect that in a few weeks after we finish up our Mark David Chapman expose of the John Lennon assassination.
Fair enough. So,
I had this other thing. I don't know if you guys had heard this, but I brought it up on the New Prisoners after Chuck had left, unfortunately. Have you heard the story about the senators being given satellite phones in case of a disrupt. excuse me, I have my partials in right now, but a disrupting event. They've been giving out satellite phones to like 50 senators, and it kind of came and went. Yeah, it's still in the news from earlier today, but I guess it was released yesterday too. Has anyone heard this story, and does anyone have any thoughts about it?
I heard the story. I didn't dive into it. It strikes me, I'm not sure how to take it. Is it, yeah, I mean, is this just something they're doing?
Or do they have any intel or anything?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's exactly where my head goes. I'd like to think that, no, this is, you know, something that's being done in the normal order of business, but I don't believe that. So, yeah. Do they know something's coming, or do they just suspect something's coming?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yes, I did hear that story, and it didn't sit real well with me. I'm not going to lie.
That's right. Me neither.
So, BP, have you heard about this? Because I do not recall running across this in my news feed. Do you know what they're talking about here?
Yeah, CBS had a story on it. And what they've got here says, amid growing concerns of security risks to Congress, 50 senators have been issued, let's see, satellite phones for emergency communication. People familiar with the measures told CBS. They're part of a series of new security measures being offered to senators by the Senate Sergeant at Arms, who took over shortly after the assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Mm.
So, you know, all because of, extremist MAGA Republicans decided to walk into the Congress. And so now they have to come up with all these expensive ways to help protect them.
Well, whether it's necessary or not, right, there's always going to be something that has to be a catalyst to justify some new expenditure, some new expansion, some new clamping down one way or another, whether it's on us or it's, you know, right there, and now they get satellite phones. And if they issued 50 of them to the Senate, then that means every other senator then has a satellite phone, if I'm counting right. And I don't know. I mean, does that make practical sense anyway? Why wouldn't senators have satellite phones if they're that important to our governmental structure? Right? I don't know. Should we?
Well, it looks like this also looks like it's coming on the tail of that now also forgotten. What was he? An Indian white supremacist carrying a Nazi flag in an empty U-Haul truck that rammed the security gates at the White House a week or so ago.
Oh yes,
sir. I just found the Newsweek story, and that's the first thing they're talking about.
Guys, I also have the link to one that brings up in quotes a disruptive event. It's in the Skype chat, and it's in the regular chat too.
Okay, great. So I think, BP, we need to get back around to Jimmy James and Harlan, who are on the regular phones, because we've been talking on Skype here for a minute, and get their take on this. What do you think, and which one should we go to first?
It's up to you. We can start with Harlan if you want.
Yeah, you know what? We started with Jimmy last time, I think. Let's start with Harlan this time. Harlan, have you heard about this satellite phone thing, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw a couple headlines here and there, and it was something like a minute and a half, maybe 2 minute video that was on YouTube that, you know, automatically keyed up, and he basically gave a little overview of the same story. They beat it.
Well, I don't know. What do you think about it just from a practical point of view, Harlan? I mean, because to me, I say, you know, with all the overreach and oversaturation of a lot of things that are done and over-surveillance, et cetera, it almost seems to me like, well, giving satellite phones to half of the senators is actually not the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't understand why that all of them.
There's a point.
I have an answer to that, or at least what the media is saying.
Okay.
I was wondering that one myself.
Before we get into that, the phone technology has been offered to all 100 senators.
Oh.
I think 50.
Right. Only 50 have accepted. Ah, that's where the 50 numbers come
from.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, that's interesting. So, Harlan, there you go. I guess they all had it offered to them, but only 50 of them took it up.
Well, why not the rest of Congress?
Yeah, still a question. Why didn't they do it? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. We would probably have to poll them somehow to find that out. You know, Jimmy James, how about you? I mean, just from a pragmatic standpoint, what do you think about this?
Scuttlebutts, they're expecting trouble with China.
Well, we could be expecting trouble from you. Go ahead, sorry.
Maybe they'll start getting some damn robocalls on these satellite phones, and they'll finally get off their butts and do something about this crap we have to deal with every day on our cell phones.
You're saying you want to see if they get harassed on the phones like we do if we have a phone and see what happens? You know, I'd love to see that. I think that's one of those events that might actually do something, too.
I mean, most of them have, you know, at home have cars in their districts, and, you know, they've got that chance of their, you know, warranty running out. So, hell yeah, give them the same opportunities we have to deal with.
You know, and you would think that these guys would take me off a damn list finally. You know, all the times we have information that your car, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, then your information is incorrect since I have never in my life owned a car. I cannot own a car. I don't have a driver's license, never have had one. I have never owned a vehicle. You don't know who you're talking to. You are making a cold call, and I hang up on them. And you would think that they might say, you know, remove that number from the list, but they don't.
They to the next guy down the road, and he calls you 2 weeks later. I mean, the list is what's... You know, the list is big business. We've even found that out on this show with the purported list that exists. But, you know, it's just killing me that, okay, we're gonna provide for secure communication. You got what, 2,000 Capitol Police officers up there, and we have this incident on January 6th that everybody knew was going to happen. Everybody had forewarning of it. They were offered National Guard troops and turned it down just so it could turn into the fiasco that it did. And we still don't know with the number of FBI informants and operatives that were there that day, which probably is responsible for half the crap that went on.
Yeah, well, what else is old? You know, and that's another funny part about this, though, is here's the thing. No matter how you want to characterize this, right, it becomes a security issue if you have too many people crammed into a space. Let's just deal with it from that point of view, is that there is an inordinate amount of people in a space. And when you take a look at the Capitol steps being jammed up, no matter how you want to categorize it, who was fighting with who or whatever else, it becomes a security issue where you need to direct traffic, okay? And that wasn't done. So they didn't have the resources to do it, obviously, and they weren't deployed properly to get it done. And that much you can easily say. So, you know, I don't know. I shake my head at this whole thing where it's just like, good point, B. Pete. How many people actually... You know, is it going to be like that Wolverine thing in Michigan where it's like, well, you know, there's 13 guys and probably 8 of them were FBI agents out of the 13. Like, are we going to deal with that? Is that what it's going to be ultimately? Or will we ever know? You know.
Well, but that's just any investigation into that end of it. You know, the FBI was asked directly, how many agents did you have in the... in the Capitol on January 6th, and they refused to answer that question. It makes you wonder. They're going to continue to have, you know, they want to brand somebody a conspiracy theorist for simply coming up with a question. But when they refuse to answer the question, you're just giving credence to the fact that the question needs to be asked. And so it's a perpetual circle. We're not going to answer, but, you know, because there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, well, the reason there are is because you people won't provide any answers. I'd be curious to know, and I bet if it ever does come out, you're going to find out that a lot of those people up there that were creating mayhem and discontent were FBI ops. Mm. Who's the guy that they were looking for that went on CBS? Ed, what was his name? That whole process of 60 Minutes getting involved in that, that's got agency stank all over it, no matter what you do.
Mm. Well, there you have it. So,
Ray,
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, Ray Epps.
Ray Epps.
They're all like, they're chanting Fed on the video. Yeah.
This guy was a former president of what, the Oath Keepers? And he got out of that. He ends up, you know, being in the Capitol on the 5th, directing operations, and on the 6th. Mm-hmm. And then he brags on his Twitter or whatever that he helped organize the thing. But when it comes time to haul his butt before Congress, oh, they suddenly can't find him. And then he turns up on a 60 Minutes interview saying, you know, my life's been torn apart. People think that I'm an agent and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, you know, yeah, you cooperated with the feds, but how much info did you dump on your fellow Proud Boys and Oath Keepers that the current president, Joe, what, just got 18 years for seditious conspiracy? You know, it's so convoluted that you can't tell me there's not some agency involvement in this thing, and people would like to know exactly what it was, especially after the Whitmer deal.
Right. Well, I guarantee you he will not serve that 18 years, by the way. I guarantee you that.
Chuck, I have a girl that has a documentary coming out about the Whitmer kidnapping plot. Her name's Christina. Nature Boy brought her up when I did a digging Chris Graves episode with her. She's going to come on Get Mad and talk about all those informants that made up that whole plot.
Nice. Because, again, the majority of the people involved in the alleged plot are agents. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
You had two acquittals, and then you had two mistrials, and they say they're going to be bringing them back up for retrial. We'll see when that happens. But a lot of information came out during that just how heavily the FBI was involved in it. And if you know, to me, it's a classic entrapment case, a lot like many of these actions against, let's say, Middle Easterners. After 9/11, you know, we had the groups that, they were planning an attack, and come to find out it's FBI agents getting involved with guys offering to sell them explosives and weapons, and the minute that they do, it's okay, you're busted. It's pure entrapment.
Well, that's why
even back to the 93 World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, but forget 93. We can go back to the 60s and talk about how we're still not allowed to know which FBI agents or if, you know, how many there were that were embedded with various Klan groups. And just, you know, and at which point are they participating in the crimes that were allegedly occurring? And at which point are they inciting them? And at which point, you know, we don't know. And you know why we don't know?
Because the Panthers, too.
Panthers also, same thing. But, you know, I hate bringing them up in the same sentence because that is a misnomer to do. But it's crazy to me where it's like, look, if we don't know who was embedded, then how are you going to know if the guy who was really pushing to get, you know, the bomb going or was really pushing to get this action going or that action going? How do you not know that that's, you know, the same kind of thing that showed up during Occupy, right? Where, you know, these confused dummies, really, were sitting in New York City under tarps looking at each other going, what do we do now? And then people came out of nowhere to go, hey, let's burn some stuff. Let's do this. And when they got told to go to hell, they walked away. They left. They weren't part of the group. These guys showed up, tried to incite something, and then left. And it's like, well, do you think some of those guys were cops? I mean, it was too funny when you found them wearing all the same brand new pairs of shoes. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, what's happening here? Ah, oh, man. What are you going to do? I mean, infiltration and all that. I mean, I love that one thing. Again, I know not everybody on here is going to be a Michael Moore fan, but I love that thing that he showed in that one movie where it was like, you know, they sent a federal agent in to hang out with, what was it, Peace Fresno or something? And what did they do? They sat there, ate cookies, and friggin' talked about, how can we make the world more peaceful, man? And there was an FBI agent embedded with them for a while. I mean, it's like, you know, is this, you know, speaking of debt ceiling stuff, is this an efficient use of federal funds? You know, it's like the Peace Fresno people, the day this guy shows up and sees cookies and, you know, hippies who don't even want to get up off the couch talking about peace, you know, this guy should have peaced out. is what he should have done. But no, he hangs out there for like 6 months, and they're like, I got to know this guy. This guy was like my friend, and turns out he was a Fed. And, you know, I don't know. I'm going to be interested to hear that episode of Get Mad, though, Chris, because that's going to be a good one. But anyway, Pete, we could take another break, or we could just run it on out, because I think, if I'm looking at the time correctly, we've got less than a half hour left. So what do you want to do? I mean, we could take some more calls, 319-527-5016. If you feel lucky and you want to call in and say something, by all means do so. But and also you can join via Skype, Charles.Ocelli. I can call you into the show if you're hearing us live. If not, you're going to need a time machine because you're hearing a podcast. But Pete, where should we go from here?
Well, I say we run it on out. You know, we've had a break. I think everybody can make it the next 30 minutes. So one topic I'd like to throw out there was the biggest news of the week, and that is DeSantis getting in the race. And now you've got Trump going out of his way to start, what is he calling him, Ron DeSanctimonious. You know, so now it's time for the bullying to begin full steam. And this is going to be comical to watch.
Well, it's
I'm looking forward.
Yeah, it's already kind of comical, though, because you saw the old McDonald ad already, right? Where he's Ron DeTaxis, I think, instead of DeSanctimonious. He's Ron DeTaxis or something because he wanted to increase or add taxes when he was in Congress or something. I don't even get the whole thing. All I know is that it sounds like old McDonald had a farm is in the background somehow. I guess, you know, the village people definitely didn't want to give him a license, Trump, to use their song. So, and that happened not too long ago, by the way. But he's got a commercial out there where he's got like this little bopping cartoon thing. And, I'm almost thinking John Hankey might have helped him direct that, that campaign commercial. Have you seen it yet, B. Pete?
No, I haven't. I'll have to go to look for that one. I did, yeah. Just as an update, I did finally see the Yellow Jacket from Amazon commercial.
Oh, I told you about that.
I have to say, cute, but, you know, that's about it. Other than that, you know, I'm really looking forward to this because we're going to see Trump do just like he did during the last election. The problem, I think, is Trump's going to be living in the past, and DeSantis, I think, is going to run circles around him. I think you're honestly going to see a true battle on this one, and it's good to see it on the Republican side. It really is. I mean, you look at it. The group the Republicans run it now is one of the most diverse group of candidates you have ever seen. It's amazing, and I think this one is really going to show up the Democrats. They're going to have to work hard on this one.
Okay, and it sounds like Captain Trips wants to get in. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I'm still baffled by whoever the hell's advising Trump, because regardless of what anyone thinks of DeSantis, it really doesn't matter. The guy is still ridiculously popular in the state of Florida, and I'm sorry, I don't think a Republican wins the White House without Florida. And I think you piss off enough people, Trump can, you know, and let's be honest, some of the other stuff Trump has, he's still not distanced himself from this vaccine fiasco. He still has not taken any responsibility for the fact that he was in charge when all this shit started. Oh, excuse my French, when all this started. And, you know, I don't think Trump is going to have the walk in the park that he thinks he's going to have. And I do really think that if he pisses off enough people in the state of Florida, they either won't vote or, you know, it'll hand the electoral votes to either Biden or whoever ends up as the Democratic candidate. I think this is a misstep on Trump's part. Living here, I think I got to hand it to DeSantis. He's played it extremely cool. He's not taken any of the bait, which is why I think Trump just won't stop, because he can't seem to drag him into a name calling contest.
Well, did you see the EIEIO commercial?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't. I got to be honest with you. More so than ever, I just want Trump to go away. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to see the man's face again. I want to see Biden go away. I want to see AOC go away. Trump is not the only person, but I am so just sick of Donald Trump.
Yeah, but in fairness,
I'm pretty much shut off. I've listened to I mean, I know where DeSantis stands, what his professed positions are. The guy that I actually have enjoyed listening to is that young guy, the Indian tech entrepreneur, that Vivek Ramaswamy. He's probably talking the best game. Mm. He won't get any traction, but he's got some interesting things to say. Tom Woods has had him on quite a few times, right. And it's a smart guy.
Well, look,
that's very interesting.
Fair enough, but you know, I got a question for you though. You know, I think that it's fair to mention though that you know you are a little bit biased when it comes to DeSantis because you live in Florida,
yeah,
and you really do have a liking for the guy. So I mean, you might. Looks to me like he's slipping in the polls a bit, and you know, but go ahead.
Yeah, he is. No, and I 100% admit that.
BP, go ahead.
He killed in Florida. He won that state by 20 points. We haven't seen a direction like that in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And say what you want. I think DeSantis is more along the conservative line than Trump ever was. I mean, Trump's a politician. Say what you want. He's been playing both sides of the aisle to whatever's going to benefit him monetarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump's a businessman. That's what he does. But DeSantis has got some actual ideas and ways of handling things that Trump has no argument, and that's when you're going to see him result to the name calling and everything else. And you know, trying to nail DeSantis right now on taxes, he's living in a state that has no state income tax.
Right.
So say what you want. I'm all for Florida and the way they do things. I with North Carolina would do the same thing and abolish it. We're slowly working it down, but let's get rid of the damn thing. It's oppressive as hell.
Come on down. We have room. Come on down. We still have room. No travel advisories either.
I do want to
speak to what Chuck said. And yes, for full disclosure, yes, I am biased toward Ron DeSantis simply because I still have a job and I still have a career because of the way he handled things. So yeah, I 100% will admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would if he gets the nomination, I would be hard pressed unless he does something really ridiculous in the state of Florida in the next 2 years or year and a half. I would be hard pressed to not vote for the man. I'm not going to lie.
There you have it.
Do I agree with everything he's? Yeah. Do I agree with everything? No, I don't agree with everything. But you know, the one thing I did find funny is this is why I think Trump is kind of just out of touch. You know, I don't take a strong position on the whole abortion argument, but, you know, they just signed DeSantis just signed, I think it's 6 weeks here in Florida now. And Trump went and attacked him on it. And I'm thinking, wait a second. You're trying to get the votes of people who are, for the most part, you know, pro-life, not in favor of abortion, and most of them that I've come in contact want just a blanket prohibition on it at the federal level. So I find it interesting that Trump was coming out and attacking DeSantis, saying that the law he signed was too strict.
See,
Trump may believe that.
Yeah, see, I found that totally bizarre.
Republican base.
I found that totally bizarre too, because I was waiting for somebody to bring it up because here we go. That is the strangest thing to me is that Trump. Look, take credit for what it is you deserve credit for. Okay, the guy put people on the courts all across the federal courts to accomplish what we basically saw with Roe v. Wade being dissolved. How is it you don't take credit for that and go along with, well, or at least say nothing about...
Because Trump has always been supportive of abortion. That was the one thing that when he ran the first time that a lot of people were saying, well, now Republicans are just being hypocritical because they're supporting Trump and he's for abortion.
Yeah, but
so,
again, his acts, as opposed to his rhetoric, his acts put it in place, right?
I realize that. But Trump is going to look at the greater good, okay? He's got a conservative court now, which may go his way when it comes to some case involving overseas transactions or some finance law or some import law or some building law, just like this EPA decision. So, you know, Trump looks at how is it going to benefit me overall. He's always been a supporter, but he wants to come out and say that it's too harsh because of a 6-week ban. In my state, just last week, they enacted a 12-week ban, but it's being called a ban. And it's not a ban. It's just saying that you can have an abortion up to this date.
Right.
So if you can get over the way the argument is structured, then you can get down to the facts. Okay, Florida's got 6 weeks. North Carolina's got 12 weeks. Some states would vote
it's,
to
it's
have
not
no
a ban here. It's
yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Yeah,
it is.
Okay. With that, I want to actually direct this one this time because Jimmy James, you know, I want to know what you think about that because I found it weird that Trump was kind of like banging on DeSantis. I mean, not that he's attacking him, but that he attacked him on that. That made no sense to me because his actions seem to suggest, based on the people that he put on the court, based on the people that he was working with, based on the fact that he was a Republican, you know, it just seems to me like, why would you argue with a guy who's going in the direction of pro-life, regardless? It seems counterproductive. I mean, what do you think of that, Jimmy James?
I think Trump agrees with the majority of Americans, and he agrees that abortion should be an option up to a reasonable 6 weeks is just too early. People don't even know they're pregnant that early. This is not a pro-life position. That's a Catholic position. That's, you know, the most pro-life people would agree with, like, I would have to imagine 8 to 12 weeks, and exceptions for rape, incest, if it's a child, if the person's life's, you know, reasonable exceptions.
See, I want to ask you something else. I want to ask you something else. I agree with you that the majority of Americans don't want a complete ban. But when it comes to the pro-life camp, no, pro-life people, as I know it, are like, no, that's just murder, period. The people that I've always known have pretty much stood on that and said, this has always been wrong, it is wrong, and it doesn't matter if it's a week or 6 weeks or 12 weeks, and that's that. And it seems like he put plenty of pro-life people who have that attitude in positions of power. So, you know, if you don't want that result, you don't put those people in power. I mean, to me, that's what it seems like. And it seems like you wouldn't even try to side with the majority of the American public because at this point in the process, you don't have to get the majority of the American public on your side. You have to get the Republicans all on your side, which seemed to me to be kind of in this is a reasonable thing DeSantis did. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it just seems to me weird that he would even pick this as an issue. I mean, the whole thing with taxes and, like I said, the old McDonald's commercial is one thing, but, yeah, go ahead.
I would agree it's weird. I wish Trump would just knock off this personal attack and stuff. But, honestly, DeSantis doesn't stand a chance of getting the nomination. He's the only guy that's running right now that's not running for vice president. And I have no idea why he couldn't have just waited 4 years.
Well, I don't know. You think Nikki Haley is vying for a vice presidential position? I don't think so.
Well, she might as well forget that now. She's just running to make money, I guess. I don't know what she's doing.
You know, I've got my questions there, too. See, again, I'm starting to... This is a very weird time, folks. I'm starting to agree with Jimmy James on a bunch of things. love you, man, but you know, you and I usually disagree a bit, and I gotta tell you, today we're agreeing a lot. I don't know what that means. You know, is that one of the horsemen? I'm not sure. Anyways, it's a weird thing. Yeah, it's a strange thing. So Harlan, you know, you got any thoughts on this, or do you just not want to? I mean, you sounded off a few times that you're kind of sick of discussing this kind of thing. So if you want to pass, I totally understand. And we can come back around to you for probably what will be the final sort of words for everybody this week. But so if you want to take a pass, I understand. But I want to go to you next.
Oh, I wouldn't pass this up for the world.
Oh, okay.
You know, pretty much, you know, they've hammered DeSantis, you know, to death. I mean, me and a guy that I work with, we was talking about this, you know, earlier this week. And, you know, it's getting more obvious to people that I know that are starting to catch on. It looks like that Democrats and everybody is starting, you know, to push Trump, make sure he's the nominee, because he'll be the easiest one to beat. And will DeSantis be the nominee? Probably not at this point. He's going to have to get on the stick. He could have, you know, came out and said 3 or 4 months ago, yeah, folks, I'm going to run, but I've got things to take care of here first. I don't see what's a big deal. And then they've come out with all this stuff that could easy just be set up to get everybody, you know, back behind Trump. But as far as the abortion, you know, stuff goes, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look at this. Where's the pro-life movement been since, you know, the so-called red wave back here in November of 2022? 2022, there was 3 red states, you know, Kansas, Montana, and Kentucky, all voted across the board against the abortion ban. They was worded a little bit different, but at the end of the day, they voted against it. Kentucky, Rand Paul got a little over 900,000 votes. And the yay, the four, however you want to look at it, the folks that was for abortion ban was only like 670-some thousand. So you've got, you know, way over 200,000 people there that there's a gap, you know, that here again, when they get into these booths alone, well, it just proves what, you know, I've thought for years, a lot of people that's virtue signaling saying they're pro-life, they're not pro-life. And I mean, as far as this 6 and 10 and 12, you know, 26, you know, a lot of these pro-life movements, you know, we can't get DNA tested at birth because years ago the pro-life movement was saying, oh my God, abortions would skyrocket. Heaven forbid somebody has to be responsible who they were slinging their vagina around. It's all right for men to be out here paying child support on kids that's not theirs. But I just think it's a political football. It's a bunch of hypocrites. One more time, you know, showing that there's more conning going on than serving. And that's just my opinion of it. Because if that wasn't the way it was, why would we be where we're at today? And here again, the Supreme Court didn't wave a magic wand and say abortion's over with. We got back down to the states. And so far, all the blue states has voted, you know, against bans, or they've affirmed the right to, you know, if it's for the abortion, however that they've worded it. And even so far, the red states it's at, Matt, has done the same thing. Would that happen in Texas or Tennessee? I don't know, and I'm not trying to simp for my own state. I think it would might be a change in Texas. The same thing would happen in Kentucky. Tennessee, it might be a little bit different. But well, folks, a lot of this stuff, it's just all show for people to get on social media, virtue signal, things like that.
So virtue signaling above substance is what happens in a lot of cases here, and I think that's on both sides of it. You know, really, like you said, when somebody actually gets alone in the booth, isn't it interesting how it actually turns out? Not quite the way it polls. Fascinating when you got to look somebody else in the face and explain yourself what it is that happens, but you get to flip a switch. Hey, look, you know. And it going back down to the states, I don't know. I got, again, mixed feelings about the whole thing where, you know, I don't know what the right answer is personally, but I still always ask that question, what about the sovereignty of the woman's life as well, you know, and her ability to make that decision? I don't know. You know, I don't want to get into that debate because, again, it just becomes the political football, like Harlan said. So, with that, we got Chris Graves left if he wants to chime in on this. And then, Pete, I think we need to go through and give everybody like a final quick shout-out, and we're done for this week. So, Chris, what do you think, man? Anything you want to throw on this?
I just want to say that my good friend Chuck Ocelli should be proud because he has almost 700 views on his Mandela Effect presentation from earlier this morning, and people should check it out. That's all I got to add to that.
Fair enough. Look, I just did a little demonstration there. I hope people are commenting on it, is what I hope, not just viewing it. Because it wasn't about me. It was about you guys, really. And I just directed, I kind of took over the new prisoners this morning and just went, okay, here's what we're going to do, guys. I gave nobody any preparation for it. And I think we got a very interesting organic reaction about people's memories, how they work, and, you know, what is actually being revised and how it's being revised. I think there's some interesting things revealed in that presentation. So, you know, and I hope it's insightful, and I hope people learn from it. Because I think it's an interesting topic, and I did release on Spreaker and through our main stuff on the podcast, your show, by the way. It has to go up on the website, and I'll get that done later tonight. But you know, the Mandela effect.
Passing the link around. Yeah, the Spreaker one.
Excellent, because and that's available on Apple Podcast and all the other podcatchers out there as well, along with my interview with Sugar Tits, which.
And that wasn't me, by the way.
That is not Chris. No, Sugar Tits, the co-host of, what is it, Blunt Force Wisdom, the podcast. There's an interview. It is not safe for work language-wise at all. There you go. Those two things came out today, and they're out there, and I'll get them up on the website a little later tonight. So, Chris, appreciate you, man, and maybe in about a couple more weeks we're going to talk about a brand new show coming to the network that guaranteed Chris is familiar with the other host, and I've talked to him about it, but shh, not yet. We'll let people know when it actually happens, and maybe there's more shows coming. We shall see. Before I get done, I want to remind everybody that we do have the hats out. And if you look at that TNP podcast, at one point I started pulling up hats and trying to show everybody the hats for the different shows and the swag bags that are going to be available. Indeed, you got to drop $50 in. If you do that, you get a hat, whichever show you want. You can get a hat from it. And there'll be other things added to your swag bag, maybe even a bag itself. A bunch of other items branded and all that, everything in very limited quantities, but I'm going to mix them up for you, and it'll be your thank you for keeping us going for the rest of the year, which is needed. So there you go. Get in touch with me and let me know which show you want a hat from, and that'll be a guarantee in your package, and then everything else will be a surprise. Nobody's swag package will be alike. I also have the pens, which I didn't get a chance to show on there today. And I accidentally showed the wrong pen on the Sugar Tits interview on Rockfin. So there you go. She's got green hair, Sugar Tits, the lady who calls herself that. Not my choice to call her that, but that's what she calls herself. Okay. B. Pete, how about you direct around and pick out everybody to go through and give their final shout-outs for the week?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I don't even have a roster here. I'll tell you what. Let's just go in reverse order. Let's start with Chris, and we'll work our way back down.
There we go. Chris Graves, your shout-out, your end comment for the week.
Yeah, check out Conspiring with Mr. Cooper tomorrow night, Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking with the lovely researcher Dana again. She was on Digging with Chris Graves a couple weeks ago. And she has some new information about the LDS church and the child trafficking scandal that apparently she found some connections that go all the way back to the Franklin scandal of the 1980s. So that will be on a live stream of Rumble, Odyssey, my Twitter page. And that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And check out Chuck O'Chelly's Mandela Effect presentation on the New Prisoners podcast. And thanks for having me.
There you go. And I think is that available on Rockfin? Do they have Rockfin for the New Prisoners, or do they just have Rumble and that? I forget.
Just Rumble and Odyssey, and now we're looking into Twitch because Odyssey kind of sucks.
Okay, well, definitely catch the Rumble video, though, if you want to see that. You can see the hats there. You can see the reactions from
like
Chris.
Like I said,
Lisa,
almost 700 views already on Rumble alone, buddy. You did awesome.
I'm glad to contribute over there. You guys have been real helpful to us over here. Not just you doing your show here, but Six and Lisa and everybody. Sometimes we get them on the Friday night show as well. So figured I needed to return the favor anyway and come over there and bring something different to the table. And let John Henry know I really wished he was there today. I'll catch him next time, though.
He's got some health issues, kind of like you and me. So, yeah, I'll let him know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, actually, I might want to talk to him about one of those things, but privately. Anyways, all that having been said, who's next, B. Pete, on your roster?
Let's see. We got Harlan.
All right. So, Harlan, your final thought.
Well, first I want to remind you that about the Hillary for Prison stickers, I couldn't find them when I was home this week.
Okay.
But I'm definitely going to keep looking for them so you can slide those in some of those bags, send them out to folks. And I appreciate you, you know, letting me get on here and run my mouth, you know, one more time. And also remember, folks, if somebody comes up to you talking about kidnapping the governor, your local mayor's cat, you know, get away from them. You know, don't go along with them, especially if you've been drinking or smoking pot or anything. But besides that, that's about all I got to say.
Sound advice. And Harlan, look, just send me an address. I'll send you some bumper stickers anyways, even if you can't find those. But if you do, I do want some Hillary for Prison stickers that I will gladly throw into the swag bags at random as well. But just send me an address anyways, all right? Because I want to send you a couple of stickers anyhow just for calling in and being the cool guy that you are. Going to put you on hold, though. Who's next, BP?
Let's see, the good old man with a fan, Jimmy James.
Jimmy James, your fan club has been a little quiet lately. Trouble in the ranks, I don't know. But, you know, I haven't heard from them in a bit. Now that I've said it, I'm going to get an email, but it's okay. I can take it. Your final thought for the week, sir?
Well, shout out to Wikipedia, which is one of the most inaccurate, worst purveyors of information ever conceived on Earth. It is garbage. It is putrid. I hope Elon Musk buys it and just shuts it down.
Wouldn't that
Everyone
be awesome?
Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. Jimmy James, and I'm waiting to get a special hat, which you're going to get soon, so... That's coming. Wikipedia, you know, I'm still pissed they haven't included me on Wiki Spooks, B. Pete. I just want you to know that. You know, Pierce Redmond got an entry, and I can't get one. That's pissing me off. I want an entry on Wiki Spooks. I want that known right now publicly.
I might have one of those guys on soon, and you can talk to them right on the air.
Definitely. I will get in his ear during the break and be like, dude, you mentioned me on your website, but you got a link that goes nowhere. What are you doing? Come on, put me on your website. I just want to be on there. Anyway.
Well, maybe you can cause enough hate and discontent in Dallas with Judas Conference, then you might get a slot on there. It'd be a quick way of raising bail, you know, get you an entry on WikiSpooks, and we'll start a GoFundMe or something and see if we can get out of jail. We'll see if we can make it happen.
Well, I hope you can do it from your phone from the cell, because I don't know how to do that crap. But, you know, yeah, sure. And please, by all means, if you're able to bail us out in Dallas, we might need you. If we go over to Judy's conference and cause a problem. I mean, you know, I don't know how much of a problem we'll get if we try to get one of those retail tables and just be like, hey, we're here to sell books. I don't know. I guess we'll see in November.
I thought about... in the middle of her comments walking into the place and just calling her a flat-out liar.
Well, why not? She sent people over to Lancer when I was there in 2017 that kind of did the same thing, so why not? Turnabout's fair play, yeah. In my opinion, yeah. Which, by the way, yours truly is the now planned MC of the Lancer conference this year, so let's have fun, B. Pete. That's all I got to say. I think that leaves us with Captain Trips, though, right?
Yes, it does.
Captain Trips, your final thoughts for this week, sir?
You know, I may have to reconsider this little Texas journey if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to be at risk of thrown into some, you know, godforsaken jail cell and, you know, East, but you know what, Texas. So we may have to discuss this, gentlemen.
Well, you know, you don't have to go over to Judy's conference with us. You could be the guy that we. Okay, look, you know, wait over here.
Okay, all right.
you know,
I'll bail your sorry asses out.
Thank you.
No, we'll set up a GoFundMe page right before, you know, everything breaks, and then when they slap the cuffs on, you know, we can claim that you're our lawyer. You handle the, go ahead and crank up the GoFundMe, make calls to whoever, you know, call my boss at work, say, hey, he's going to be a little late on Monday, and go from there. You'll be the guy behind the scenes. You'll be in a call safe position. I'll leave you the car keys and, you know, partner phone.
There you go. I'll give you my cell phone so you can tell Mrs. O what's happening, okay? And she will crack up because it'll be, you know, the first time. She'll be like, well, finally, at least he's the one going to jail instead of me. Because that's the way that goes. It's usually me bailing her out. So she'll just, you know, well, she owes me a couple. So she's not going to get mad at all. And you tell her, hey, look, I got to bail him out. And it'll be okay.
At least we have a plan.
Well, there you go.
Mrs. O, when we get back, Mrs. O, you would not have been proud. He sold out the first 10 minutes for a pack of Marlboros.
Now. If you think I'm going to be the one to flip, no. We're definitely going to pay the fine and walk. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, any other thoughts there, Captain Trips?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I wanted to bring up, and we'll have to discuss this at another time, was, and it's fun, it popped up in my head when Jimmy James mentioned Musk, his interesting choice for Twitter CEO.
Yeah.
I found that, I mean, I'm was very glad that I never really jumped on the Elon bandwagon, because I thought this was a real slap in the face to people who have, but who knows? I just found it very interesting.
Fair enough. So, B. Pete, you got anything you want to drop in?
Well, no, I just, you know, thankful for another week. We got another show in. Looking forward to doing it next week. Just tell everybody to go to the website, Ocelli.com, and do what you can. Look at the swag and see if you get yourself your own little bag in the mail. Other than that, I'd like to thank everybody that called in, Chris and Harlan and Jimmy and Captain, and looking forward to doing it next week.
Absolutely, guys. And remember this, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Yes, thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to my co-host, B. Pete, and thanks to you for getting all the way through the end of the show. Take care.